Sports Beat AM on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT continues with more Notre Dame football conversation featuring Blue and Gold Illustrated writer Patrick Engel.
It is 24 minutes in front of 9 o'clock. Darren Pritchett back with you. Sports Beat AM continues. And yes, indeed, I'm joined by Patrick Engel. You can read his work at Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. We're going to blend in some football talk with some more Blake Wesley conversation, as we've talked about all morning. The South Bend Riley product and Notre Dame freshman guard has entered the NBA draft. Again, if he doesn't hire an agent, he could come back to Notre Dame by June the 1st. But in my opinion, reading his social media post, it sure seems like a final decision, but we will wait for his final decision, Notre Dame or his lifelong dream of playing in the NBA. Patrick Engel jumps in on the conversation. And Patrick, let me just start, as you look over this situation, Blake Wesley going to the NBA draft, why do you think it makes sense for him?
Yeah, ultimately, first-round status is a fleeting and a valuable thing that, you know, you can't really fault anybody for taking advantage of that and trying to, you know, protect that investment, for lack of a better term. And even if, you know, you want to make the case that you shouldn't take him in the first round based on this season or kind of his ups and downs in ACC play and the NCAA tournament, that's fine. But that's kind of where he's been projected here in a lot of these mock drafts, and you know, where you see more draft analysts and scouts and stuff have him in that area. And look, this is a high ceiling guard that you're taking here, and that's going to be a lot of times worth a first round pick, especially a guy who's, you know, right now yet to turn 20 years old. And you know, that age and upside of it is a lot of what goes into these NBA draft decisions. And you know, he can definitely offer you that. And like you mentioned, nothing final, and you know, if leaving the door open, you know, not a bad idea, just in case you go to the combine or work out for some teams and you know, that first round likelihood isn't where you want it. But I think as you look at it right now, even with maybe the overall numbers that don't blow you away in terms of shooting percentages, still a really intriguing athlete and an intriguing prospect from an NBA perspective. So when you think you have that in the first round status, like I think is, if you made me guess right now, if he stays in the draft, he's picked in the first round, I'd say yes. I can't really fault anybody for wanting to take advantage of that and go chase that now.
I know, Patrick, just getting some responses from Notre Dame fans over the last 18 hours or so, I think the common mention is, hey, good luck to him, but he just doesn't seem ready. And you do talk about 40% from the field, 30% from the three-point line, 65% from the free throw line. That doesn't sound like a first-round player in the NBA draft. But from my standpoint, Patrick, what I'm trying to tell people is, if he's taken mid-late first round, those are teams that aren't necessarily needing a guy to come in day one and produce, unlike a lottery pick like Jaden Ivey might be coming up here later on this summer. I think Wesley is being looked at as a developmental player with a high ceiling, so I think that's where it's tough for Irish fans to understand. They see a guy that was inconsistent at times putting the ball in the basket, but I think the NBA mindset is totally different.
Absolutely, and you bring up a good point there, and I agree, where the team that takes him, say, in the late teens or somewhere in the 20s isn't going to be a team that won 30 games and was never in playoff contention. It's going to throw him into, I don't know, 30 minutes a night or something and a starter or key bench role or anything. And maybe you do want to develop while playing in the games instead of, you know, behind the scenes and stuff. And, you know, a team that's more established with a more established rotation maybe won't be able to, or it might be harder to fit him in there. But yeah, the ceiling is ultimately what it is. And I think I understand the sentiment of how another year could have helped him, because I certainly think it could. I don't think it would have been a surprise at all where, you know, he goes the route that his good friend Jaden Ivey did, where he comes back and, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at a surefire lottery pick, just with another year of playing college basketball, understanding it, just being able to make more consistent decisions and improving shot selection. All of these things that Jaden Ivey was able to do this year that turned him into that. And certainly you look at Blake's athletic ability and burst and think that that kind of ceiling is there for him. But like you mentioned, it's not like this is a, you know, kind of a sink or swim situation that, you know, he'd be going into with the team that takes him in, say, the 20s or the late teens that probably made the playoffs this year. And it's not like you can't develop in the NBA either, even in the G League, if that's a route where you have to go initially to get some more playing time.
Patrick Engel covers Notre Dame football, Notre Dame men's basketball for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Of course, Wesley is the major news, Patrick, but Nate Leshefsky is also going to test the NBA waters. How would you evaluate what Leshefsky has to think about over the next couple of months?
Yeah, ultimately, this is a guy who's already played 4 years of college, and you just might think, all right, it's time to move on and go be a pro. He's going to graduate this spring, and, you know, whether that's in the G League or the NBA, overseas, whatever it might be, I certainly think it's a wise move for him to go through the process, figure out what he learns, figure out where the options are, whether that's, all right, is a fifth year at Notre Dame best, is going in the grad transfer route for one other place the best move, or is just, all right, let's time to go get paid playing basketball. He's, yeah, already going to be, I believe, 22. And, you know, with a degree, just time to kind of do that. So all of those things kind of, I think, what he's got to evaluate here. But, yeah, another big decision for Notre Dame as far as what he does, if they can get him back for that fifth year. I mean, this was a guy who made 53% of his threes in ACC play. That was the best in the conference. So, and it was their best defensive rebounder. And even though, yes, Wesley is as much as things revolved around him, and you think of, all right, where he could have gone next year and kind of all the juice that he injected into not only the team on the court, but the program, like, Leshefsky's still a meaningful piece for that and one they'd still really like to have back.
Yeah, you would have to imagine if it doesn't work out in the NBA for Nate, and if he doesn't want to come back to Notre Dame, there's going to be a good contract for him in Europe. A 6'10 kid that can knock down three-pointers. The European teams love that type of American player. So as we move forward, Patrick, you would expect Goodwin and Ryan to be part of the team next year. For me, the question marks are Wirtz and Hub. As you hear those four names, what stands out to you as possible storylines coming up before we get to summer school?
Yeah, those are four other big ones and other guys who have fifth-year decisions to make. I think the most likely would be Cormac Ryan to come back, a guy who already had eligibility for this year even before the COVID waiver. Prentice Hub kind of gave an indication that this was his last year. I don't know that he explicitly meant to come out and say that, but I think that kind of lines up with maybe what's most likely there. Goodwin, Wirtz, yeah, those are two big decisions for Notre Dame, especially now with Wesley in all, but likely heading and off to the NBA and staying in the draft. Where Goodwin, yeah, I know it's kind of ended the year on a little bit of a quieter note, but anytime you have a guy who shoots 45% on threes, and especially with the way Notre Dame wants to space the floor, that's a guy you take back in a minute. And then Wirtz, definitely the seventh man in the seven-man rotation, but honestly thought he gave him some good minutes in the game against Texas Tech, and a guy who can play on or off the ball that'd still be a useful, you know, bench guard, combo guard to have there. And again, with one of those main guys in Wesley and potentially still Hub heading out, you know, you can't have too many ball handlers out there. So all four of them, if they wanted to come back, I'd see no real way Notre Dame turns any of them away, but I don't believe all four will be back and playing for Notre Dame next year.
Patrick, one more basketball question. You would imagine in the rotation next year, Konecny moves up. You got J.J. Starling coming in. the outstanding guard. The one guy I'm curious about, do you know much about Van Allen Lubin? You look at him, a 6'8 forward, a four-star with Paul Atkinson moving on to pro basketball. Is there a chance that Van Allen Lubin could eat up some of those minutes lost with Atkinson moving on?
I don't know that he's necessarily a true five and a five only like Atkinson was. I think he can certainly play that spot. I think you can put him out there in the four, a guy who's been able to shoot it a little bit and stretch the floor. But yeah, I think that kind of smaller lineup with him at the five is something you definitely see, provided that he's, you know, kind of ready to go and ready to handle some kind of workload freshman year. He's going to be one of the more athletic guys on the roster as soon as he steps on campus, a really impressive leaper. Probably needs to put on a little bit of strength if he's going to, you know, battle down there in the post and be able to rebound as well as Atkinson or even Leshevsky did. But yeah, really, really intriguing player that you think of as having a pretty high ceiling. But and again, adding some athleticism mm-hmm. into the front court that he'd be able to bring right away. So he's kind of maybe not the number one thing to follow in summer workouts. That'd be, of course, J.J. Starling and what he can bring and what he's going to be ready to do. But certainly Lubin being able to give you some minutes would be something that would, I think, really boost them and bring some athleticism and some upside there to Notre Dame's front court.
Patrick Engel, Blue and Gold Illustrated writer for Notre Dame football and Notre Dame men's basketball. Let's sneak in a couple of spring football questions. You had the chance to watch one of the open practices that the Irish had. I'm curious to see what you saw at the quarterback position with Drew Pine and Tyler Buchner.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants to see, right? But I thought it was an interesting look at both of them. I don't know that one has already started, you know, blowing the other out of the water or anything like that. But I thought so far so good from Buchner. A lot of patient throws and on-time, timely, accurate throws. And that's really what you want to see him progressing on, is getting there as a passer and kind of going on a steady upward path. And really that was kind of be what swings this thing. And, you know, if he's at the point in late August in fall camp where you're seeing dynamic flashes and consistency as a passer, then I think you can start to really think of the ceiling for this season being pretty high. But, you know, if it's still maybe the inconsistencies and what you saw in that game against Virginia Tech last year, where there were a lot of good and a lot of not as good in the 2.5 quarters he was out there as a passer, then you kind of worry about, all right, how high can this offense go? But through one open practice, I think so far the signs are good that he can get to the point of being a pretty reliable and potentially dynamic starter there. And Drew Pine, to his credit, isn't going to make this easier on him. I think he's made a lot of strides just since coming here, and certainly looks comfortable. He had a few nice throws Saturday, including a couple where he was able to extend the play, and like we think of Buchner being able to do. But in the end, I still think for now, and having seen Saturday's practice, this is going to be Buckner's job to lose.
Let me sneak in one more question. Patrick, I'm wondering about Audric Estime, soon-to-be sophomore running back for this Fighting Irish football team. We saw him carry the football 7 times last year, 6 against Georgia Tech, 1 carry against Oklahoma State. You look at him, he looks like a bruiser, but he actually brings a whole lot more to the table than that. How would you assess what he brings to this offense, and how important could he be to the 2022 Fighting Irish offense?
If you made me rank surprises, or if maybe things you didn't necessarily expect to see from Saturday, just from spring so far, I think he might be toward, if not at the top. And I mean that in the sense of, you look at him and think, all right, bruiser, short yardage, goal line, run through a wall, what have you. But his agility and quickness was a lot more impressive and easier to see than I would have thought. He got involved as a receiver a lot during the scrimmage in the 7-on-7 portions we saw, made a few guys miss in the open field, obviously still a powerful runner where he will run through tackles and will, you know, run up the gut and be able to get you every yard and churn for an extra half a yard in there. But the open field ability, I think, was maybe a little bit more than I expected, and obviously in a good way. And what that does as far as helping him get in the rotation this year, we'll see. I mean, obviously Chris Tyree and Logan Diggs aren't going to go anywhere, but I think it's definitely more likely you see at least a three-back rotation where the snap counts for the number three back are a lot more consistent than they were last year, where really, with the exception of a couple games, Notre Dame largely played two running backs and not in garbage time. But I think you'll see Esme be able to get involved in there in some way or another. Maybe that's just in the short yardage role, even if he's capable of more, just because they want to use Tyree and Diggs in some of those, you know, other areas and as a receiver and in pass protection and what have you. But in terms of thinking what it means for Estime maybe beyond this year and for however many years he's here, just wanting to see this spring that, all right, he can be more than just that bruiser guy. I think Saturday's practice kind of hinted at that might be what his upside can be.
Patrick, Blake Wesley, three Irish women's basketball players in the transfer portal, updates on Dante Moore. This is a pretty good opportunity for people to join the Blue and Gold family.
Oh, no question. Yeah, $1 for a year at blueandgold.com. We've got all your spring practice coverage, all the recruiting as far as, yeah, big week here for Dante Moore, the five-star quarterback visiting. Our recruiting reporter, Mike Singer, has had that covered all week. And, yeah, well, as basketball continues to unfold with these roster decisions, we'll be on that as well. So blueandgold.com, you can subscribe for $1 for your first year.
Patrick, good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Darren. Great as always.
That's Patrick Engel, Notre Dame football writer, men's basketball writer, Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com.
We are proud to announce a new sponsor for this podcast, Auggie's Locker Room. Auggie's Locker Room, which is located less than a mile away from Notre Dame Stadium, was named the best Notre Dame's collectible shop in the country. This shop is amazing. If you are a passionate Notre Dame fan and are looking for that special Notre Dame piece to complete your rec room, Auggie's is the place to go. They have a wide selection of Notre Dame stadium pieces, jerseys, helmets, autographs, and one-of-a-kind Rockne items. They have an exclusive Joe Montana signed items. If Auggie's doesn't have it in store, he will find it for you. Visit AuggiesLockerRoom.com or stop in at 1811 South Bend Avenue and see the vintage helmet display dating back to 1890. AuggiesLockerRoom.com or call 574-277-NDND.